One of the things I've learned over the years, the Lord shows up like that when he manifests himself as a pastor, as a leader. You want to treat that moment, that sense of the holiness,
the presence of God, with clarity, grace, humility. And that's all what it means to be walking in the fear of the Lord, as we talked about. I could barely sing today, and I appreciate working with you, Paul. You just kind of knew, right? You just knew. And it's all about him. And sometimes I go, Lord, you preach this today. I'd just rather listen to Jesus today. Right? Can you imagine listening to him preach? You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm going where you go. You know? Let's go. If I'm not the 12, I'll be the 72. You know, right? The 72. Okay, if I'm not the 72, I'm still going to follow. I'm just going to go where you go. You know, I've heard a lot of stories about Billy Graham, and he's one of the ones I'm looking forward to seeing in heaven. As you guys know, if you've been in this series, Homeward Bound, A Glimpse of Heaven, I keep four different categories of people that I'm looking forward to in heaven, and Billy is one of them. And there's this true story that the leaders in Charlotte wanted to throw him a party for him. He's turning 93. And if you remember his story, at 92, he was struggling with Parkinson's disease. So he was really apprehensive about going. So they assured him and said, we just want to honor you. You just come to listen. And so he attended. And after they honored him, he said, can I say a few things? And he got up to tell a true story. And he said, today, I'm reminded of Albert Einstein, the great physicist, who was this month declared man of the century in the United States. Einstein, he said, was traveling from Princeton one day, and he was on the train, and the conductor was coming down the line, and he was punching the tickets, you know, and Einstein was reaching for his, and he couldn't find it. He reached in his vest pocket, he reached in his pants, he reached in his suitcase. He couldn't find it. The conductor said, hey, it's okay, Dr. Einstein. I know who you are. I know you purchased a ticket. No problem. Don't worry about it. Conductor continues to go down, Billy says, down the row, and Einstein was on his hands and knees looking for his ticket. The conductor came back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry, I know who you are, no problem, you don't need a ticket. And Einstein looked at him and said, young man, I know who I am, I just don't know where I'm going. Doesn't that sound like the absent-minded professor, right? That is so Einstein, if you've followed his life or studied. And Billy got up and said this, do you see the suit I'm wearing? He said, my grandchildren and children are telling me I'm getting thin in my old age. And so this suit I wore for this occasion, but I'm wearing it for another occasion. I'm wearing it for my funeral. And he said, so when the day comes and you think of me and think of this suit, he said, I want you to think this, I know who I am and I know where I'm going. And I go, yes, when you have the assurance of salvation. Jonah, what Revelation is about is where we're going, what's coming. This is a little kind of a trailer moment, right? Before the movie, the previews, here's a preview of heaven, and this is what we're looking at. And so in my message this morning, I want to look at this vision that God had given John. Now, the scripture says, set your heart and mind on these things, right? This is a verb that's ongoing. Always set your mind on heaven. And so we looked at the words of Jesus, right? Five wonders of heaven that he gave us that were astounding. And just the wonders of God's house, the wonder of preparation, the wonder of a return plan, the wonder of belonging, the wonder of the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. And then last week we looked at kind of this picture of what we're going to see with our own eyes. We saw heaven's river. It will be captivating. It'll flow from the throne. In other words, it's a representation of life. And with that flowing from the throne, I made a mistake last week. It's always good to have a wife that goes, honey, you misquoted the scripture. That's why I married you. Keep me on track. She said, I said 12 trees. There are two trees with 12 fruits that represent the healing that will be for us. And so heaven's tree and heaven's king and then heaven's light. And so Kyle already read the scripture, so I'm going to look at five more characteristics of heaven so we can set our mind on this and using our imagination. Because Paul, as we were singing, what am I going to say to Jesus? What's he going to say to me? You know, I was just like, wow. You know, I remember Elle and I dated in our dating years, and it's 1,200 miles apart, you know, and I said goodbye to her 17 times in 4 years during our dating years. And every time it was so painful. And then that reunion of seeing her again, you know, that was back in the day when, you know, there was no Instagram and all that. And so I can't wait to see him. So John says here, heaven's reign, this expression he says, and they will reign forever and ever. Many have pondered the question, what are we going to do? Right? What are we going to do in heaven? Well, here we will reign with him. That's a key phrase, right? We're not always familiar with reign. Reign is this idea that we're going to reign with the Father. It's a family business that we're going to be in. And so we'll always have the boss's ear because he's going to have our ear, and we're going to work together to reign again with him. Think about that, right? A boss you can respect, a boss you look up to or whatever. The King of Kings is going to rule. We're going to rule with him. And so he talks about this. Can you picture it? And so just a reminder, there are three levels of heaven we looked at. Remember, the first is this atmosphere, right? This is the first heaven. The second heaven is the universe. And then the third heaven, Paul was caught up to this. He said, I know a man who for 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. Wow. Heaven's reign. It's a king and it's a kingdom. We get glimpses of this. I don't know if you've ever been to Scotland, but you see some of these beautiful castles and beautiful landscapes, and you go, there's going to be a king someday like this. Use your imagination, the beauty of the land, the incredible architecture, the reign of Christ over a physical land. Isaiah said it's a new heaven and a new earth. The new earth, we're going to reign with Christ. It's an amazing picture. I think sometimes we have to distinguish between worldly and earthly, because sometimes if you go down Washington, you're going to go, oh, what's going on here? You know, and so that's the worldly system, the worldly culture. But in heaven, it's going to be a new culture, right? And so that's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a reign. Remember Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter? Our kids were captivated by this guy. For me, in the beginning, I thought, this guy's over the top. And then I realized, no, that's Steve. That's Steve. If you don't know, he was an Australian zookeeper, wildlife educator, environmentalist, and TV personality. And so the day he died, it was such a sad day for our kids. And we watched the funeral, the memorial service, one of the best we've ever seen. But if you don't know the continuation of the story, but Robert, his son, and Bindi, have continued their father's work of the zoo and environmentalist purposes. In other words, the business continues on. And I think it's a picture of that's what we're going to do with the Father on the new earth. We're going to reign together over this. Yesterday, Ellen and I on our Sabbath were sitting on our back porch reading our books, and we were blown away by all the activity, chipmunks. And Ellen said, when I finally said, I saw 2 dozen birds today, hon, here. And it's just like, wow, is that part of it? I think we're going to do reign over that. You know, like, I'm sorry for being a little bit like Snow White, boo, you know, just, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, just, what does it mean? Reign over the animal kingdom, right? I wanted to show you a picture of a lion and a lamb, one of my favorite. They'll be together. No more death. No more death. Reigning together. Heaven's promise. Number two, heaven's promise. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. In other words, blessed. If you keep it, you're going to be joyful. So, Jonah, if you're interested in the book of Revelation, keep it. Read it and then keep it. right? Because then you're joyful, because you're anticipating what's coming. To keep is more than just storing up. To keep is more than a reference point. To keep is to follow and uphold. This is what he's saying. It's to keep the ways of Jesus when things are going good and when they're going hard, right? Do you like it when you get your taxes back? Do you not like it when taxes are withheld or your taxes are kept? The promise here is when you keep his way, there's benefit. Jesus used this word keep in another context. Let me help you understand. This is a very important word, keep. You know, one scripture that's often misquoted out of context is this: you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's what Jesus says before that. If you hold or keep to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. It's in the holding that we get the keeping. With the holding that we get to the knowing, sorry. When we hold on, keep it, then we know. And then when we know, we're free. And so we keep this promise of revelation in our hearts. And in keeping it, let's keep this warning in reference. We've heard this before, right? Where John says this: I want everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away his share, the tree of life, and in this holy city. Sadly, where you're seeing this most is not secular people, but religious establishments and so forth where we're seeing this. But thirdly, we see heaven's reward. This statement is astounding. Jesus says, my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Just like the song, Paul, Jesus is our great reward. Done. That's it. Don't need to see anything else, Lord. Just you. He is the great gift. But he says here, my reward is with me. Interesting statement. I mean, he's the reward. As the song says, he's the darling of heaven. But it's with me. And so scholars and teachers have wondered, what is this reward that is with him? It might be, I don't know, but hey, the place I've prepared for you, come with me, let me show you. Maybe that's the reward, right? It's potentially, I think, tangible reward. Today we have rewards, right? The commission you got this week. Rewards, the paycheck at the end of the week, the Christmas bonus, the health coverage, the vacation package. We're in a life of a culture of rewards, right? But this is even greater. His reward is personal. He's going to give it to you face to face. His reward is communal. It's going to be a part of all of what we have. His reward is based, though, on work with him. Let me say this. How do I say this graciously and clearly? Be careful of American culture impeding upon our biblical Christianity. Why? There is a time to retire from work, but not retire from the kingdom work. So Ellen knows I'm not going to retire. I'm going to play a lot. I'm going to do more maybe, but I don't. And so heaven's reward according to what you've done. And so this is the reward based on. And so I don't know if it's not going to be blue ribbons and Olympic gold medals and things like that. I think it's also going to be the rewards of his words, what he says to us. My reward is with me. Jesus' reward is based on love and faithfulness to the great commandment and the great commission. Mother Teresa said this: do small things, but with big love. I know, ladies and gentlemen, the work is hard, the work is heavy, at times cumbersome. Your heart gets broken. We get disappointed by things that are not done and done well. can be wearisome at times. Times you just throw up your arms and think, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Jesus says, I'm going to reward you. Listen to this story. Helen Rosevere was a missionary in Africa. And for 8 years, she studied the African people in Congo to understand, how do I help them physically, but also spiritually? And after 8 years of research, she had put it all in a book. And if you remember the Congo Rebellion in the 1950s, the place where she was working was ransacked. And she was, her place was burned. They, just trying to keep this in context with children, but she was beaten up, I'll just say that, okay? And she's tied to a tree. And this is what she prayed. Jesus, all my life, I wonder, is this worth it? And then Jesus came to her and said, you've been asking the wrong question all your life, Helen. All your life you've been asking, is this school worth it? Is this boyfriend worth it? Is this book worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? All your life you've asked the wrong question. The question is, am I worthy? Am I worthy? And she says in that moment, by that tree, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. When we have that perspective, the work is worth it. The work is worth it because he's worthy. Not if New Buffalo Alliance is worth it. No, Jesus is worthy. And this is our focus. I almost didn't go into the ministry because this verse terrified me. I'm serious. I was in high school. James 3:1. Do not presume to be teachers, my brothers, for we will receive a stricter judgment. That's why I was like, I don't want to mess this moment up. Heaven's reward. Fourth, heaven's antithesis. Outside are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters. Those are hard words. Early in my ministry, I didn't even want to mention the word hell. I don't even know how you even begin to talk about that subject. But I remind myself of 1 Timothy 1:2, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. God desires all people. That's his desire. And so he knows that we have a choice, and some choose not to want him. They don't want him. And so it begs the question, why would someone not want him? How does someone resist the desire of God who wants them to be saved, right? Jesus' own words, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus spoke more on the subject of hell than of heaven, but the subject of hell he spoke was the pastors and teachers of his day, not the crowds. It was about heaven in that context. And so I'm reminded, the scholar Craig Bloomborough said this, 7 times in Matthew and Luke, we see the reference of gnashing of teeth, this picture of being away from the Lord. You know what gnashing of teeth is? It's when they stoned Stephen, remember in Acts 7, they were gnashing their teeth? That's anger. And so for those that don't want God, God grants them their wish. You don't want me? I don't want you. They say that at Lenin's death, he got up in his bed and one more fist at God, and then he laid down. If you don't want him, he's not going to force himself on you. I've walked through cemeteries. You ever do that before? It's an interesting experience. Like, who were they? What were they like? What happened to them? It's a sobering experience. Death is batting 1,000, right? Ellen and I have had a Christmas tree business. We sell Christmas trees. And for many years, we still do. And I met a German lady who was wonderful. She'd come every year, and she'd come and collect her greens. And she would say what it was for. And this is what she told me. She said she was from Germany, living here in Central PA. She said, but back in Germany, we have a day in the year where we all bring our greens and our lights and we decorate the whole cemetery to remember those who have died, to remember our ancestors. And it's just, that's their ceremony. And I went, wow. You know, I'm just a way of remembering. And I remember this Indiana cemetery. There's a tombstone more than 100 years old. Written on the stone is this epitaph. It says this: "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so will you be. So prepare for death and follow me." This unknown person scratched these additional words on the tombstone: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." Only in America. So, and I don't, you know, I've had many conversations about this area of life on hell, and it's a tough subject. I used to hide from God myself. I used to distance myself from Him. And some God allows that to happen to where they don't want to know Him and don't want to be a part of Him. Heaven's Savior, Jesus talked about here. Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star." Jesus is identifying Himself here, right? I'm letting you know this is who I am, right? He knows who He is, and He's going to let us know. It's a beautiful thing when someone knows who they are and they're clear on who they are, and Jesus is saying this. But out of this identity, He says these words: "Behold, I'm coming soon." He says it three times: "Behold, I'm coming soon." It might be a way of He's revealing His love. "I'm coming, I'm coming." But we hear this word "soon." It's different for each of us. I don't know about you, but that word "soon," our culture is a fast-paced culture. I struggle with it. I like speed. And when I mean speed, I mean I work fast, I study fast, I play fast. And I've had to work on this. And so, you know, we're into microwave faith. We want it now, you know, and Jesus is in the marinating. You know, it's just long and drawn. And doesn't the marination taste better? And so this idea of soon doesn't always resonate with us. But Jesus knew who He was, and He was coming. Over the years, what I do with young men, and I did it with my brother, I've done it with my sons, I've done it with other men. I was a soccer coach, I did it with young men. I said, "I want you to watch Gladiator. I want you to watch this scene." Or Maximus has lost it all. He's lost his emperor that he loved, the land that he served, his wife and kids. But when he's facing at the lowest moment of his life, he knew who he was when he faced his enemy. And so Jesus comes, reveals Himself. "This is who I am. This is who I am. After all that you lost, I'm bringing it back. I'm the beginning and the end. Hold on," He says. "Behold, I'm coming. I'm coming." I love that phrase, "I'm coming soon." Listen to His heart when He says that. "I'm coming soon." Listen for His heart when He says that. I think of the song. I was listening to it on the way down today. Chris Tomlin wrote, "Even So Come." This song is beautiful. I sort of just, here it is. "All of creation, all of earth, make straight a highway, a path to the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout out your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come." So if this is where we're going and we need to prepare ourselves for that place, how do we do that? How do we do that? Let me just give you 10 tips of how to do that, okay? And I won't go through them too fast, but this one scripture that I try to remind myself often, Paul said this: "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day." when you do this, heaven practice, that's the renewal, day by day. That's how you do it, right? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. How do you do that, Pete? Let me give you 10 tips. Read books on heaven. There are really good ones right now. Read books on heaven. Randy Alcorn has done an outstanding job. It's pretty thick, but just pick chapters and read. I've actually counseled people through that book. Secondly, listen to songs about heaven. Ever hear, I Can Only Imagine? Great song by Bart. Even So Come, I listened to on the way down here. Thirdly, meditate on passages that describe heaven. Use your imagination. Pick physical representations of things on earth as a potential fullness in heaven. Meditate on passages. Fourth, practice the spiritual discipline of reflection. As Ellen and I were, as I told you, sitting on our porch, we were going, what's this going to be like in heaven? You know, as I said to you, this woodpecker was amazing grace. It was a huge, she goes, look at that wingspan. Practice the spiritual discipline of reflection. Five, journal on the subject. Learn to listen to your longings that come up. This is what soul care is about, is being aware of what longing is in my heart. Ellen laughs at me that I used to do this for a lot. I used to go to movies by myself. She goes, that's so weird, honey. But I'll listen to a story, and I go, that's the longing. That longing. And then I project it on God. I call the auditorium a second sanctuary. Why? I'm going, Lord, that's what I'm looking forward to. Or belonging, or joy, or peace, or love, or wonder, or adventure. You, Jesus, will fulfill all of those. You. So journal these things. Sixth, list people you're looking forward to meet. I have them here. I'll review them once in a while. They're in there. Billy Graham's one of them. Billy Graham is one of them. Study with good friends. Do a good study together, good Bible study on heaven. See where it takes you. Listen to messages. There's so many great podcasts today of preachers who've done a good job on this subject. Teach on it. And when you teach on it, it has a way of settling and resonating in you. And finally, sing songs in private. I've never even heard that last one we sang. That was wonderful that we sang today. That song, I Can Only Imagine, was a movie in 2018. I don't know if you saw it, but it was based on the true life of Bart Millard and his band Mercy Me. The song, I Can Only Imagine, is the best-selling Christian single of all time. Bart wrote it in 10 minutes. Wow. In 1999. The movie is the fifth highest-grossing music biopic, but it's a song about heaven. We've watched it. I've seen it several times. But Bart was 10 years old. His mother left him, and he lived with an abusive father. You talk about having a living hell, if you will, on earth. It was an ugly, painful childhood for him. So to please his father, he would try to play football, but then he bruised both ankles that left him with music. And so he eventually started a band. But producers said to him, you're not ready. You're not ready. You need to resolve some personal issues in your life that are affecting the band and your relationships, and in particular with your girlfriend. In other words, your stuff is showing up. Deal with it. So he began to deal with it. He discovered that his father came to Christ, and he didn't believe it. He was like very skeptical. And Bart refused to forgive him. It was hard to forgive an abusive father. But over time, he saw the changes in his dad. And eventually, they became friends. Then his father died of cancer and inspired this song. And so Bart tells his story at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. He said, "My father went from being a monster to being totally changed." He said, "When I saw that, I set myself on a warpath to proclaim the gospel." And I love that statement by Bart. And so he has set his heart on things above. I don't know what that looks like for you. Those are tips I give to you. But I assure you that it will help bring energy and focus to your todays. I don't want to end this series. But I'm moving you along. Moving you along. Let me pray. Father, we the Word of God gives us a glimpse, and you've let us see those words. "My reward is with me." This wonderful picture of a river, a throne. "We will see your face." Oh my Lord. In the meantime, help us to know that the things that we're doing today, that you will reward those according to the work they've done. So help us to know that the work of the kingdom does matter. Paul said, "Do not be weary in doing good." I imagine, Lord, the reason we become weary is that we're looking at the earth more than heaven. And so help us to remember who we serve and why we serve. And thank you for the way that you're working in our hearts, Jesus. We ask in your name. Amen.